What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I am here with Lale Hancock and super excited to have my guest today. We have had quite a few years of dancing together and playing together, and how many conversations have we had about business and money, and it's just been such a joy to know you, and I'm so happy you could join me here on the show today, Lale.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here with you again.
And today we thought, well, hey, we could talk about all sorts of things, but how about, let's start with contribution.
Well, I don't know that I knew what contribution was prior to, I'd say, about 8 years ago, and it keeps evolving more and more every day.
Yeah, totally. Well, what has been your experience with contribution?
Well, I when I used to hear the word contribution, it was like, are you giving something to someone? Are you assisting someone with something? You know, it was just more of this action of one way, I would say, where with Access Consciousness, one of the things about contribution is this simultaneous gifting and receiving that occurs. Like, for example, like when you walk into nature, like, do you notice this relaxation in your body? That's actually the nature gifting to you, and it's you and your body together receiving. And it's just such a different thing than most of what I've heard on my life to what contribution was.
Yeah, me too. Like, it was kind of like an expectation, like you should contribute to that person because they're worse off than you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had a dominant energy, right? It was more of like one was more superior than the other, where really the gift of contribution is that it's not just with one thing. It could be the gift and contribution of you and your business gifting and receiving to each other. It could be a person, it could be a baby, it could be an animal. Like, it's just that everything could be this. It's not a one person has all the power and is therefore giving.
Right. Well, and I love that you even brought up the earth to start, because it was like the earth gives without any expectation of anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's funny because with the earth, like, we give it permission to be one of the things that we have no expectation of having to take from it, but that it's this continuous gifting and receiving.
Yeah, and that the receiving is part is just receive, just relaxing, like you were talking about.
Yeah, and I really didn't get this whole relaxing to receive. I'd say, like, I thought I got a little glimpse of it maybe 8 years ago, and then along the way have noticed the places in my life or in the business or relationships or even during parenting when I was that space that allowed that receiving with that relaxation. And the moments that I really wasn't, it wasn't relaxing, and things were very difficult. But the minute, you know, you are willing to kind of chill out a little bit and actually go to that place of receiving from relaxation, it's amazing how things get created.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I actually have this funny thing that happens when I go get a massage. I suddenly get like a windfall of money.
Oh, I love it! That's for me when I get my hair or nails done too.
It's like the body is like, oh, thank you for letting me relax and take care of me, and then the money will just come from wherever.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense, because it's usually those moments where, you know, you're on a roll, you're doing some creative stuff, you know, you've got a lot of, I don't know, I'd say like timelines of things you got to get done. And that moment, it's like, oh, God, I wish I could get a massage or could go get my nails done or my hair or something. And that's really your body actually communicating with you. Now go. And many of us go into the opposite. Like, oh no, I have to get this done, therefore I can't go right now, and end up creating more difficulty in accomplishing what they have to accomplish versus giving themselves permission to be in that place of contribution where they're gifting and receiving simultaneously. And just notice, like, everything that just seemed like, how am I going to get all this done at once? Like, it just easily comes together. It's like effortless, you know?
It's funny you brought that up. I was actually wanting to talk a little bit today too about like the effortless, the out creating thing that we do all the time, but people think, well, we can't out create like COVID, or we can't out create this problem. Would you be willing to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I can share kind of a little bit of my own experience there. I traveled to Portugal just literally for some relaxation. I'd been traveling for over a year and just everything was on the go. And I made the choice of, you know what, I'm going to take a few days for me, and came here not knowing while I'm here the world would be changing so rapidly. And that I wouldn't be able to come, you know. And actually, one of the things that occurred is that I was riding a horse, and the last few minutes before we came in, the horse tripped on some rocks. And it wasn't just like rocks. We were climbing on a huge rock, and there were some rocks underneath. And the horse's leg kind of went down. And the horse was so magical, was trying so hard not to throw me off, but I didn't. It didn't work. We tried, we juggled, and then poof, I fell. And most people would say, like, oh my God, I got hurt. I'm in a foreign country. What am I going to do? And it's a problem. But like that moment, the first thing I did, no matter how much pain I was in, I started doing some breathing exercises and really having this, with Access, there's this process called restoration of communion with Earth. And I started to run that on myself and just started like paying attention to my breath and relaxing. Because sometimes with that pain, you know, relaxing is the last thing on your mind, but that allowed me the ability to actually be able to stand up. Before that, I couldn't. My body kind of was reacting to the injury. And I, for the first time, ended up going in an ambulance and going to the emergency room in a foreign country. And the whole time, I just kept like also thinking of like, okay, like if this wasn't a problem, like truly, what is the gift and the possibility here? Which is one of the tools that we talk about in Joy of Business. We talk about it in Access Consciousness, is like, instead of focusing on the problem and that things are solid, like what if we can influence them by changing them? And one of those influences is the ability to actually ask questions. And so, you know, it wasn't the best experience, I would say, in terms of like the pain, but I had the most kindest people who were the ambulance people, you know, and then when we got to the ER, the nurses, the doctors, like the whole experience ended up being easy. Now, yes, I was in pain. My body was in pain. It actually assisted in me choosing to stay in Portugal instead of flying on a, you know, 30-hour flight home, which could have been 8 hours, but you know what was happening with all the airplanes. And it's been one of the greatest gifts, because here I have nature and I've been able to allow my body to heal. But most people would have looked at that as
the problem, like this injury occurred, now I can't go home, I can't. But for me, it's become, oh wow, I would have never even known I could be in Portugal for 2 months. Like, oh, the trees are amazing. Oh, I'm quarantined all by myself and I don't have any friends nearby. That's a problem. But oh, I have Zoom. I can see people online. Like, it's just this moment of, like you said, the willingness to outcreate that it's a problem.
Wow, that is such a great example. And to also the question you asked, what's the beauty underneath this? What's the possibility here? Mm-hmm. And that's such a different way of thinking in this reality, this world. How did you start to change that thought process?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I've been using the tools of Joy Business and Access Consciousness for the last 8 years. So I think it's a muscle that you end up building. But like at that moment, I knew my brother-in-law had been in a mountain biking accident and had a spinal injury. And I worked 12 years in healthcare and hospitals and ERs and other places. And so like, I knew if I let my mind go crazy, it would not help me. Mm. So for me, I knew at that point, like I had the choice of, am I going to allow this to become a problem that stops me? Or am I going to somehow turn this to there's something right about it and that I'm going to assist my body in healing itself? And I've got to tell you, you know, it took weeks for me to fully like not have a lot of pain, like trying to get out of bed and stuff like that. But the quickness to what I was able to do, you know, right away, a few hours later and things of that sort, like were these milestones that really I know I couldn't have accomplished if I had started to worry and gone into the problem of it instead of the possibility.
Well, it just brings you back to what people often say, like, if it, what are you focusing on and how do you change that focus?
Yeah. And our mindset, you know, like so many of us don't realize the things we think we really create in our lives, you know, your point of view creates your reality. And this is something like I heard 8 years ago and I've heard it every day since, but it seems like every day it has like a different way that I can perceive what that means. And it really is like we are, our mind and the things that we think, and a lot of times things that we don't even know we're thinking actually cognitively, but like those are really what's showing up in your life. And for me, I've always had the mindset of like, I'd say the positive thinking, but this isn't about positive thinking. It's like, okay, this is where I am now. How am I going to change it? Or what am I going to do different? It's not like I'm just going to be in my like imaginary place of like, oh, I hope it gets better and it gets better. If I actually don't believe it's going to get better, it won't. Right. So I think it's like your mindset and what you're willing to actually allow you to change as a point of view.
So would you be willing to talk a little bit about what tools maybe you use to help you change your point of view?
Well, the first one is don't make anything serious, you know, like anything we make significant. Imagine it's this like imagine when you're playing in mud, right? Like let's say there's dirt, it rains, now it's mud, right? If your feet are in it, you can still move. You can move your feet. But if that mud was concrete, eventually that concrete, you can't move. Your feet are stuck in the concrete, right? And that's what happens when your points of views become these fixed points of views. So the first place is, okay, there's this point of view, whatever it is. Like, let's say in that case for me being like, oh my God, I hurt my back. I'm going to have spinal injury or anything like that. Like if you go there, you actually stop what your body can naturally do for itself. So even if you say, oh, I love this one. This one's a good one. Mm-hmm. I have to work hard to make money. This was something I used to hear so much as a child. But what's funny is my dad would say it, but in reality, he loved his job. And for him, it wasn't actually difficult to make money. But let's say that's one of the examples of what you're dealing with, right? So the first place is like, okay, there's this point of view. Truth, is it mine? Is it somebody else's point of view, or is it something else? And if anything lights up, just know it's not yours. So if, you know, it lights up when you ask, is it mine or someone else or something else, then there's kind of like the next steps to it. If it's yours, you can always ask more questions. What is it? What can I do with it? Can I change it? If so, how can I change it? If it's not yours, this is really like 99% of the time, it ends up being not ours. It's just things that we learned as children from others. We learned it at school. We learned it through our culture, society, churches, whatever. Like, we've learned things from other people. So a lot of times when you really look at something that you've made really significant, most people realize, actually, it's not mine. And you don't have to figure out who does it belong to. You don't have to figure out, like, now it's my mom's, I can't do this. But it's just like, oh, okay, it's not mine. So now I can just return it to all the places where it was the sender, you know, wherever initially that thought got created. And I'm going to sprinkle some consciousness on it and just say, okay, return to sender with consciousness attached. And one thing I love about this tool is it doesn't mean it goes to a person, but for something to become a point of view, it's like two thoughts, two alignment of an energy occurred to make that become a reality. And when you add some consciousness to it, you now allow those energies not to be solid anymore. You allow them to break apart and be free-flowing energy again. Okay. So, it's not my point of view that I have to work hard to make money. Okay. So I don't have to hold on to that anymore. Now, what can I choose that allows me to bring in more money, you know, with ease, with fun, or anything else?
I love that.
Yeah.
Are you still there? I couldn't. Okay, cool. Yeah. You just stopped. I was like, oh, is she still there?
Both things open.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Cool.
We're good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really great stuff there. I'm wondering too, I want to backtrack just a little bit, because you said something about the horse.
Yeah.
That also piggybacks with the contribution thing. Like,
yeah.
Trying not to throw you.
Yeah. You know, Venus, it's really interesting. I've been riding horses now for 6 years. I've never, ever, ever fallen off a horse. I've never even been close to falling off a horse. There's been moments on the saddle, maybe I wasn't as secure, but it's just never happened. And actually, one of the things that I talk to a horse, I facilitate classes called Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider, and I also do leadership with horses. And one of the things that we always share with people is, before you get on the horse, ask the horse, will you take care of me? Because that's already the starting point of that gifting and receiving, that contribution that you talked about. And so, you know, I had already asked the horse that, and I felt so great during this ride. Like, literally, we had a 2-hour ride, and all of this occurred 10 minutes before we returned. So 1 hour and 50 minutes of pure joy with this horse. But the other horse was very restless, which is really interesting. And this horse, like, I mean, this is my first experience riding in Portugal, but like, not everything is sand, but like, we were near a beach, not on a beach, and there was so many rocks, not little rocks, but like huge rocks. And these horses are trained to go on top of the rocks as part of their trail ride. And so when we went, I don't know. It was just one of those interesting things, like that moment, like I almost knew before I knew kind of thing. And the horse, when the horse went down, I felt like the horse held on to me even tighter than ever before. And I can remember like wiggling, you know, like my body wiggled across the saddle and almost was able to hold on, and then I couldn't. And the guy that was riding with the other horse with me, it was so interesting because in his world, he immediately panicked. He thought I was going to be mad. He blamed the horse. And even when I came back before the ambulance picked me up, I saw the owner of this horse farm. And even with her, I kept telling her, I'm like, listen, you have the most amazing horse. Like, this was not a bad experience. Like, people, you know, I've never fallen off a horse. Like, I know this was like one of those things that occurred that really there was a gift in it somehow. And she was calm at the time. I'm not sure after, but I think during the time she was actually super calm. And it really was, because most of us want to blame someone when something occurs. We want to say it's someone else's fault. We want to say that, you know, we now have to blame someone else. And I know it was so weird for her that here I'm not blaming anyone. Not the horse, not the rocks. I'm not blaming the guy that I rode with. Like, for me, it was this total gratitude for everyone and everything, which really is this space of contribution. Like, I can see now, 2 months later, how much that accident actually contributed to my life. It really was so different than I would have ever experienced falling off of a horse, you know.
What ways would you say it contributed to your life?
Well, it really got me to, one, experience this whole ambulance and going to the ER in a foreign country. I mean, the experience was awesome. You know, like, I was in so much pain and they had to wrap me and put me on this gurney and everything. And I was like, that was the worst part. But like, the guys were like, here's this whole quarantine thing had just occurred. Everyone's in panic mode. And here I was trying to make them laugh and they were trying to make me laugh so that none of us would pay attention to the amount of pain I was in. And even just like the whole experience of like, I've been really playing with, do I want to move to Portugal? Will I like it? You know, can I live here? Like, it answered a lot of questions of the things that I would have said were some unknown factors for me. Mm-hmm. And the kindness that I got to experience that day from everyone, the horse, the guy I was riding with, the owner of the horses, the ambulance, my hotel who had to call the ambulance for me, you know, and the staff there, and then the whole experience in the ER. And, you know, even when I left the hospital, you know, we had to have special ways of getting medicine, like even the pharmacy, the quickness of them giving me the medication so that, you know, we're all supposed to be in quarantine and not, like, the whole experience of that. And then everything I've learned since then, everything I've experienced since then, like, none of these things could have ever occurred if that one situation had not occurred.
Right. Wow, it sounds like you've been receiving lots of contribution. We'll come right back after this short break.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, They aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at ohmtimes.com. Ohm Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Is it time to create a different and greater world? Through research, we can explore paths to new and exciting possibilities. The Hope Foundation for Possibilities and Change is a research-based, not-for-profit organization dedicated to exploring, discovering, and creating a different future for all. Your donations make this happen. You can contribute at foundationforpossibilities.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Lolly Hancock, and we're talking about contribution. And I just love that story because you're receiving so much from so many different people and beings and animals, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's like I think a lot of times when we think like we're receiving, it has to look a certain way, you know, like if I was looking for a job, it means that I got the job. Or if I was looking for money, that means the money showed up in my bank account. But actually our receiving is there's so many gifts from the world. There's so many gifts from people's kindness and generosity. Like I realized, so I'm in a hotel and with the quarantine, eventually they ended up closing the hotel and they moved us to their residences. And the maid that I ended up interacting with, you know, she was a little freaked out with the quarantine, you know, having to come look at, you know, taking care of people and not knowing who's sick, who's not. Like there was this world. And I realized one of the contributions that I was being during all this craziness was how much I was helping them relax. I was helping them not freak out as well. And how she went from really being standoffish, short, and wanting nothing to do with me to then engaging and having conversation and wanting to gift me things, you know, like she ended up making me a mask. So I had a mask if I went outside. I mean, just some kindness that really has been this gifting and receiving between us. And I make the maids laugh. Just love laughing. And I realize like we think this contribution is totally what am I getting? It's not a getting, it's not a giving. It's a gifting and a receiving simultaneously. And I just wonder how many of your listeners have just never really thought about it, you know, to how much they're contributing to everything around them, whether it's their families, their work, even traffic, like by them smiling and maybe singing in the car, how much are they contributing to traffic that they haven't even acknowledged yet? Like this whole world of contribution is such a different concept than I think what most of us learn growing up.
Yeah, and that you touched on something really great because it's almost like you are a contribution just by being. There's nothing that you need to do.
You're right.
And I think that that's a common misconception in this reality is like we actually feel like we have to do something to be contributing. Sometimes well, there is sometimes, doing, but not necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key right there. Not necessarily, because there might be some actions, and sometimes the actions are, you know, you saying something, maybe you doing something, going somewhere, you know, or maybe there's an email you have to send out. But it doesn't have to be. It, just think about the moments when you're on the street and you had a really rough day or whatever was going on in your life and someone smiled at you. Like the action of that smiling, mm-hmm. how much did it melt anything that was going on in your world? And they didn't even have to say hello to you, but just that smile. Or someone hugged you and melted everything away. Like there's these, we keep thinking that so much is associated with words. And words, sometimes they do. But a lot of times it's the energy behind the words. It's that body language. It's all these other ways that we communicate with others, whether we even know we're communicating with them.
Beautiful. And when you talked about, too, you talked about the earth and like how the simultaneity of gifting and receiving happens. And I think a lot of us can kind of get that concept because we're like, yeah, it's beautiful. I feel good, whatever. But you did say something in the first part of our show today about being a contribution and receiving contribution from your business as well. Could you talk about that?
Oh my God. You know, one of my favorite topics you and I talk about all the time. You know, I think a lot of times people think of business or their job as this thing that's so outside of them, right? Every business has its own consciousness and it really physically actualizes with someone's idea, you know, their energy, and then there's a business, okay? Or it could be a radio show, it could be a book, it could be anything, it could be a drawing. But what happens is that the business is also there to assist its own growth. It's also there to gift you something, you know, like a lot of times people look at it like it's their only source of making money. Making money with you and for you is one of the things the business can be and do, but it's not just those things. And if you're willing to allow your business to be the earth, to be that nature, and talk to it, communicate with it, you know, like every day, let go all the expectations you have of what the business is, what the business isn't, who can be part of that business, whether you're talking about staff, contractors, or clients, and any of the services. Like, let go everything you've defined about it and then start every day brand new and ask the business, who are you today? You know, who or what do you require today? What would you like added to you today? And really, when you start to actually have this communication, it doesn't have to be verbal, but just you can think it, you allow the business to share information with you. You allow the business to contribute to your life. You allow the business to contribute to its own growth. And there is this gifting and receiving with businesses if you allow it. And it doesn't even have to be your own business for you to receive from it.
Do you say more about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times people think like, oh, I work for someone else. It's not my company. So, you know, I'm just here as a job and I get paid and I leave. Well, guess what? That's your point of view. Like we talked about earlier, if that's what you think, that's all you're going to give yourself permission to receive. But if you're willing to be grateful for that business can contribute so many things beyond the paycheck that you receive. Can assist you with ideas, can assist you with contributions to the health of your body. It can contribute to expanding the business to all the places you'd like to take it. Like there's just so many things. It's really infinite what a business can contribute. I'll give you guys an example. For me, my whole life, I've loved businesses. I mean, that was just something my dad and I used to talk about all the time. And one thing I realized is that businesses communicate with me. And I, for some funny thing, like I know exactly which business needs me that day, and I happen to walk in it. And, you know, I'll talk to the business owners or, you know, employees or whatever, and they'll say, wow, you know, it's been slow, or they'll talk about something that's coming up with the business. And then 10 minutes, 20 minutes after I'm there, the place is booming. You know, the business is like, what? And people tell me all the time, they're like, we haven't been this busy in God knows how long. You show up, and right after you show up, the business picked up. Like, people actually ask me questions like, what did you do? But it's like, I'm willing at that moment to gift and receive to the business without it being a thought. And by me gifting and receiving, more of that contribution is available. It also melts away the points of views people have about their business. So the business can then pull in other clients, other bodies, other people into itself. And that's one of the gifts we truly have. We have the ability to be the contribution to things or people. You know, like I said, the hug. You can just hug someone. It doesn't matter what's going on. Everything melts 99% of the time. Sometimes when you hug someone who's really mad at you, it melts, but they're not willing to receive it. So it might be a little bit different. But other times, just think about your pet comes and hugs you at the perfect time that you needed that. It's that gifting and receiving, and it's your communication between you and your animal, and your body's communication with you and your animal.
I love that. And you have said something that maybe some people out there, like, we were used to hearing giving and receiving. What's the difference between giving and gifting?
Well, we were taught to give and take. We're talking about gifting and receiving. And just notice the difference between those words. Like, how does your body feel when I say, you know, give and take, and then gifting and receiving? They're very different energies and on different frequencies of energies. And with gifting and receiving, and contribution is simultaneous of those, there's no obligation. There's no, I have to do this. There's no, you did this for me, therefore I have to do for you. All of those pretty much lies of who we are go away. We no longer have to make it be about keeping score. You know, the scorecard goes away.
Right. So, like, because we're taught that if we give something, then we will receive something, or, you know, that there's something that has to come in return.
Yeah.
If we're just gifting, it's just a contribution without any expectation of anything in return.
I mean, think about the moments when, you know, someone came and dropped off something, like, you didn't even expect it, but you left feeling like, oh my God, I owe them something. Okay. And then another moment where someone gives you something and it just felt really good, and you didn't feel you had to, but maybe you were like, oh, it would be so nice for me to actually give them something. It's from a very different place when there's no obligation. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, with the quarantine, we're all supposed to be a distance apart and all the stuff. And a bunch of us who were in the hotel, we were all brought over to the apartments, and so they spaced us out. So there's like my apartment, and then there's this one apartment that's not utilized, and then there's another apartment. And I met this lady who, you know, just retired, bought a house here. House is going under renovation when all this happened, and so she's in a hotel. And we had chatted, and one day she shared with me that there's a grocery store that's walking distance from here. I'm like, really? Because we're kind of secluded where we are. We have like a 20-minute ride to go to the grocery store. And she says, no, it's a little shop. It's not a real grocery store, but it has items. If you want to go, I'll show you sometime. I'm like, great. And we went and I said, oh my God, my favorite drink is called Dr. Pepper. And, you know, most places don't carry it, but I found this one gourmet grocery store 20 minutes away that has it. And she's like, oh, what's the name of that grocery store? And I told her, and she has a car, so she went grocery shopping one day there, and she bought me two Dr. Peppers. And I didn't know it, but she rang my doorbell, and I was working, so I never answered the doorbell. And then she messaged me and said, are you still in Portugal? And I was like, yes. She's like, can I come by and drop something off to you? And I was like, yes. And so I had no idea what it was. You know, I thought maybe the name of the lawyer who she bought her house from. I don't know. And so I opened the door and there she is holding two cans of Dr. Pepper. And I was like, oh my God, like that is so kind, right? And I got so happy. I got so excited. Of course, I couldn't hug her because we're not allowed to hug yet. But it was this like genuine, like she did it from kindness. She didn't do it from kindness with obligation. And I didn't feel at that moment like, oh my God, I don't, what do I give her right now? But it really was like, oh my God, that was so kind. And I can't wait until we can have a drink together. Or like there was this looking forward to being with her, not to pay her back, but to also gift her something.
I love that. Yeah. I actually have a really close friend of mine that we, a couple of years ago, we were like, you know, this whole like, it's your birthday or it's Christmas and I have to get you something doesn't really work for us. And so now we just randomly do things when we want, when it's light and it's fun and it's right. But it's such a different energy because it's like, oh, I just like to gift you something just because, instead of it's your birthday or it's this day, we should have something.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I realize is that the shoulds are gone. Those obligations are gone. But there is a generosity of spirit. Like, you know, like when I got excited about seeing the cans, you know, of Dr. Pepper in her hand, I could feel she got happy. Like it made her world greater by gifting that to me. And that's what happens with gifting and receiving, is that you're expanding each other's worlds without an obligation of what it has to look like.
Right. And all the beauty and the magic that comes out of that.
Yeah.
Such a joy.
And you know what? Do you remember when you were 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 and you would just play with random people and you didn't care if you had all the toys or if they had the toys? You just went and played with them and it was just so much fun. And you never had to see them ever again if they weren't there anymore, but you were excited about the time you had together. Yeah, that's what contribution is.
That's so great. And it's so simple. And we try to make it so difficult.
Yeah, it really is, you know?
Yeah, and I love what you said too, because it's so true. I mean, a smile to somebody can mean the world. I mean, I have this wonderful story of a friend of mine who, there was a woman in her town that was, everybody thought was really crazy, was really mean, and everybody was like, you just want to really steer clear of her. And one day she was walking by her on the street, and she just looked at her and she said, would you like a hug? And the woman was like, I would. And she received a hug, and that woman told her she had never been hugged before in her life.
That just makes me want to cry.
I know.
Oh my God.
But my friend just being willing to be that aware of just like, you know, instead of trying to steer clear across the street like everybody else did, but just be like, hey, would this be a contribution to you? And it changed her whole world. So,
wow, my whole body's like in chills listening to this story, by the way. But you know what I love is that your friend didn't just go hug her and invade her space. Like, your friend asked the question and let her choose. Mm-hmm. And your friend would have been okay if she said no.
Yep.
That is a world of contribution. And not one that we define, but really that's the world when you can be that kindness with no expectation that the other person has to say yes.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about generosity of spirit, and this is what we're talking about, but if you'd say a little bit more about what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, generosity of spirit is just like, you know, you can be something or do something like truly from the just wanting to, you know, like something that's just going to create greater with no expectation. Sometimes it's money, it's linked to money, but it doesn't have to be. Like, I remember, you know, one thing I always, not always, but like times I love doing is, you know, the parking meters where you have to put coins in, which these days most of them are automated. But like, I would love to, like, even when I'm leaving, refill it up so that the person coming after me wouldn't have to pay to park. Like, this, that piece would not be part of their world. They didn't have to worry about it, you know? And I've seen so many times that it just, it surprises people. Like, they're expecting to come into the parking spot and they're expecting to have to pull out their money to put the coins in or put their credit card in or do their automated thing on their phone or whatever. They're used to there being extra steps, and then the steps don't have to be there. And just the smile on their face, and they're usually looking around to see, well, who did that? you know, I mean, sometimes it's in that form, but that hug. You know, the hug with no expectation, but you know, just that might actually change someone's reality. Just make a shift and a change in what's going on. That's generosity of spirit. Mm. When you're actually being and doing something, not because you have to from obligation, but just you would like to do it, and it might create greater.
And being willing to follow that awareness, that ping, like, hey, would that person like a hug? Or,
well, that's the key, right? You have to be in the question, because just because you think the person needs a hug, you can't just go hug them, because that's invading their choice. So that's no longer generosity of spirit. You know? But like, for example, like, there's been moments, and this is money related, and I didn't want to give this example because I think a lot of times people misidentify that all generosity of spirit has to be with money. But like, there's been moments where, like, there was this one person who was trying to go to an event. And they really didn't have the money, and they really were working hard to put the money together. But I asked the question, and, you know, if I contribute to, you know, gifting them this money, like, what will it create? What will the life be like? What would it be like in 5 years if I do this? What will it be like in 5 years if I don't? But not just for me, but for them. And there's been moments it's been that way. And that just exploded their world, and their joy expanded, their whole world expanded, you know, like, it got greater. And not because I wanted them to give me money or anything else like that, but just from that wanting to be a contribution to someone's world expanding. And there's been other moments, like, there was this young lady, she's 16 years old, she came to my class last year when she was 15. And I was facilitating her, and one of the things that we talked about is that she wanted a horse. Now, at the time, her mom was not doing well financially, and so I was chatting with her, hey, What if you're not waiting for your mom to make you the money? Are you willing to create the money for the horse that you like to have? And that was in May. And then in January, she came to my Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider class. And she'd already picked out the horse. She just didn't have all the money yet. And at the end of class, she was so cute. She came up to me and she was like, "Lale, I need this much money to buy my horse. Will you give it to me?" And I really, for a moment, had to think. I was like, okay, if I give her this money, what will that create? What future does that create, you know? And then if I don't give her the money, like, what future will it create? And it was kind of a crazy thing, too. It was like thousands of dollars. Like, it wasn't like, can I give you $100, you know? And but I really thought about it. I literally asked the question to see what it would create. And I got, oh my gosh, if I give her the money or any money, that actually kills the possibility of her creating and choosing for herself. So instead, I said, how about this? I just facilitated in this class. What if I facilitate you right now with a few questions? And I planted some seeds in her world about money and just offered her some tools and some ways that she could do it. Do you know, less than, I think it was less than 30 days or 60 days after that, she had all the money to buy the horse, to pay for the transport of the horse, and the money at the barn for her to take her horse to. I want to say it was in 30 days.
That's amazing. How does it get better than that?
But it wasn't the assumption that my generosity of spirit meant I had to give her the money. Does that make sense?
Right. Yep, totally. And to me, you totally embody generosity of spirit, Lale. It has been such a pleasure to have you on the show today. If you guys are looking for Lale, you can find her at globalwellnessforall.com. And we look forward to talking to you again next time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, lovely.